Well, good morning. How are you this morning? Blessed. That's fantastic. Well, I tell you what, I was talking to, in fact, it was Gene, I think, was talking over here, just as we came in this morning. I mean, I hope that you anticipate when you come on Sundays, I hope it's a blessing. I hope that you come ready to celebrate, be with God's people, be refreshed, be renewed, create the environment for worship in a corporate way. It's the overflow of what hopefully has been your week, that perceived blessing and continued blessing. For some, maybe this week hasn't been so easy, and so you come and you hope to say, God, I need a focus on the blessing of being thankful, that we have something to be thankful for. We've been talking about the work of grace and what grace has done and the change that it made and the change it's made in us. And today especially, as we come to the issue of grace, I want to just to look at the issue of the changes of grace, obviously the nature and our attitude and all the changes that we're in a life of change, that we'll be in a life of change, and it'll be staying that way, that we, as a believer, we ought to be conforming every day to the image of Christ. The question in our heart ought to be, is this like Christ? Am I doing this like Christ? Is my attitude, is my response, or the things that I'm doing, is it reflective of Christ in me and what I want people to see? So the changes that we come, but I think today, especially as I prepared and as I asked some of you questions and different people, even people outside of our church, the question is, what do you celebrate? What do you celebrate? I will tell you that as I ask that question to people, the responses can surprise me at times, what people celebrate. And I learned there's basically three types, maybe four types of people, but the fourth would be they don't celebrate anything. So we won't count that. But there's basically three types of people that I've noticed as I've asked. There's those who celebrate, but you'll never know it. They're in their head celebrating. You know, they're beating the drum and they're like, yeah, whoa, and they just... Are you blessed celebrating today? But they just don't know it. There are those who celebrate big events. You're going to think this is crazy to me, but this was foreign to me. Because they celebrate the big events. They celebrate birthdays. Until you're a certain age, then we don't celebrate those. But we celebrate all kinds of stuff. We'll celebrate kids' birthdays, grandkids' birthdays. We'll celebrate a raise. We'll celebrate a bonus. We'll celebrate good news. We'll celebrate, but it's based upon an event. It's based upon, you know, something that we celebrate with. What do you celebrate? But for me, the reason it was interesting that when the ones I talk to that say, oh, I celebrate events, I say, well, do you celebrate daily? Well, no. Not really, because I celebrate events. They put it, you know, to celebrate. What do you do? And see, I'm the type, I remember we had a guest speaker. This was years and years ago. Years and years ago. We ran the community center over there when we started. And I remember that, in fact, you will remember this, Mary Carol Maroney. Remember Mary Carol? Some of you who remember Irwin and Diane. And so I know Kent was there and some of you others were there. But it was she had lost, this is how long ago it was, she had lost a tooth. I mean, not lost it. She knew where it was out of her mouth. But it happened that Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember, we had a guest speaker, but I made a big deal in church. I said, you lost your first tooth. I was celebrating. She lost her first tooth. Man, the tooth fairy's coming tonight, baby. You know, and I celebrated that. And that's just kind of my life. And then I remember the guest speaker afterwards telling me, you guys celebrate the funniest stuff. You mean I'm not supposed to celebrate a little kid losing a tooth? Because see, my identity and the way I look at it, I just celebrate kind of everything. I mean, that's just kind of who I am. I celebrate. I woke up this morning, had a breath. I celebrated, you know? I mean, come on, you know? I mean, it's crazy. So there's different, but what do you celebrate? Are you one who celebrates events and you think it has to be a big event to, it has to cross a threshold? This is celebrating. Not bad, it's just that's the way you are. Are you the one who will celebrate, but nobody ever sees it? Nobody ever hears about it. It's just in your head, you know? Well, I celebrate, I just don't let people know about it because I don't want, you know, I just don't do that. And some celebrate every little thing, and maybe like me, to a fault, maybe, perhaps, celebrating every little thing to see that. What do you celebrate? Now, the word celebrate, the definition, so I had to go back to this because people made me think about, what does it mean to celebrate? It is a verb. Publicly acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. Now that is the definition publicly acknowledged, so those of you who just are celebrating in your head, you don't qualify for this definition. A significant or happy day or event. Well, a happy day or event, I guess that's not me, unless you qualify the events. The events of getting out of bed is a happy day. The events of little things happening, that could be a celebration to me. With a social gathering or enjoyable activity. A social gathering, well, that's part of what we come here, or an enjoyable activity. And so as I was thinking about this, the reason I even started this process as we were in grace, as we were even talking about the work of grace, the reality is when we see the work of grace in our life, the bottom line is it should cause us to celebrate. It should cause us to act as a verb, to publicly acknowledge a significant or happy day or event, event being that Christ is in our life, so many events, with a social gathering right here, or enjoyable activity, whatever it may be. All right, so I'm going to do something that I often don't do in church. I want you to take, those of you who have it handy, I want you to take your smartphone out, okay? I want you to go ahead, pull it out, make sure the ringer's off, pull your phone out. And I thought this was so telling. I want you, you got it on? Turn it on. I want everybody to do this here. I hope this doesn't backfire because you know me and my computer skills. I don't even have my phone with me. But I did this numerous times. I asked Mike Sartoris to do it before me just to see what he came up with. Because I was starting to celebrate. I want our services on Sunday to be celebratory. What are we celebrating? I want our grace to be celebratory. I want us a work of grace. So I want you to key in there, some of you who are your youngins who can really do it quickly. I want you to Google celebrate grace. Google it. Celebrate grace. While I have a drink of water, which I'm so thankful I'm going to celebrate this drink of water. Your phone probably comes up and says Amazon. Amazon, is that right, D? You got it? Come here, D. Come here. Do you have a faster phone than everybody?
No, I really don't.
You don't. Do you have Amazon up there?
Hold on.
Celebrate grace.
Celebrate grace. Want me to press on it?
Yeah. In for a daily chance to win. That's not, no. Philosophy. Okay, Amazon, the philosophy. D, read down there and tell me what that is, actually. Read one of those. What is that celebrate grace, what it is? It's a fragrance.
It is a fragrance.
It's a perfume, okay? So, thank you, D. So, your phone doesn't work very well. So, anyway, I will tell you that as you did that, so I did this, celebrate grace. And to celebrate grace, what comes up in all the first page, at least on my phone and my iPad, whatever it is, I hope nobody wears Celebrate Grace in this room. You can get it at Nordstrom's for $46, it says, okay, if you want to go. But they had, you read that, they have a philosophy of the Celebrate Grace, okay, perfume for women. Let me tell you what part of this is. The exuberant, approachable, you will find this if you, one of those lines. The exuberant, approachable fragrance was designed to make a woman feel inspired to embrace the joy of sharing with those we cherish. Nordstrom's, $46, okay? To celebrate grace. What is it that we celebrate? When I think of celebrating grace, I'm not thinking of a perfume. However, there's a little analogy to that. I am thinking of celebrating a fragrance, an offering of our fragrance to the Lord, to celebrate the grace that God has given us, to celebrate the way He has in our life. It's not just about a fragrance on the outside, but that our worship, our praise, our life celebrates the grace of God and is a daily and is a fragrance to us. So how do we celebrate God's grace? What is it that we celebrate with God's grace? Let me just run through some things and to understand really what this grace is that we talk about so that you understand and that you will leave here today and every day, if nothing else, that we will celebrate the grace that God has given us every day, every moment, that will be event. Now, we've already looked at this, so we're not going to spend a long time, but celebrate God's grace. The first and foremost of that is salvation. Salvation. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We talk about, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The grace of God, Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. We see the salvation that God has brought us. If nothing else, we can realize that we can celebrate the fact that, remember we looked at even in the Corinthians and Titus and so on, that I once was this way. This was my life before. But this is my life now. I heard Jay this morning say, he's sitting over here, our drummer, who didn't wear his whatever shirt he's at. He actually looks really cool. He's got his little tie on, little vest on. He's just, you know, he's a Sunday school boy, you know. But anyway, Jay was saying this morning, I don't even know if he knew I overheard him. But he was telling to somebody who I don't even know who he was talking to, but he said, I often wonder if I could get a snapshot of my life if I would not have gone into the Navy, right? Did you not say that? And what would it have been? What would have been the life? But obviously, we can look at our life and say, I was this way. But by the grace of God, and if only for the grace of God, I might be someplace else. And look at what God, so we see his salvation has appeared to us, who changes us, who gives us that. But let me tell you about God's grace. Let me give you some other things about God's grace. One, it is always enough. We sing that song, always enough for me. Do we believe it? Always enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Listen, God says his grace is sufficient for our need. Whatever we have, whatever we face, God's grace is sufficient. That is a huge promise. That God's grace is always enough. It never runs short. His strength is always enough. We need to understand that we can celebrate, if nothing else, that God's grace, not based upon me, but based upon him, is always enough. That we're never going to worry like we're going to run short of grace. Uh-oh, Aunt Ethel, we're running short of macaroni salad in the buffet line. We better do something. No, God's grace is always enough. But not only is it always enough, what we have to understand is that we don't have to ask for it. You realize we don't have to ask for God's grace. We ask for wisdom. He says, pray for wisdom. Pray for strength with all of those things to seek God. But we don't ask for God's grace. Once we've accepted God's grace, we just need to apply it. We get it. It's like the Holy Spirit. People say, well, you need more of the Holy Spirit. No, I have all of the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. I don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of me. And the same is true with grace. That we have God's grace. We accept it. He's drawn us to himself. We give him our life. We believe in the grace of God, that unmerited favor. We don't have to ask for grace every day. Oh, we may do it for our own recollection, for our own mind to understand that. Say, God, give me grace as a prayer of God. Help me to apply the grace that you've given me. But your grace is sufficient. Help me to know that. Help me to live that. That there's nothing that's going to separate me. That your grace is going to give me through this situation. I have your grace. As you see in the definition, as you see even in the word, it involves community. Our grace involves community. It says that we share it together. Listen, we can celebrate grace as a church. I love our church. I guess I could be the pastor if I didn't. But I love our church. I love our people. I love what God is doing. I love grace. I love this grace place. But let me just tell you, it doesn't compare to the grace of God in my life, being seen demonstrated of what I was and where I could have been, except for the grace of God made an interjection in my life. What is the grace of God to you? Isn't it grace that it involves community? The issue is that we celebrate grace. We don't keep it to ourselves. You who are, well, I'm celebrating grace, but I'm not going to share it, is not going to happen. Why? Because it involves community. What draws us here together is the grace of God. One faith, one Lord, one grace that saved us. Not about you being better than me to deserve God's grace. No, we don't deserve any of it. It's received, a verb. Look at it. It says it's a verb. Right? When you think to celebrate, it's a verb. That does not just thinking about it. That's not the action of, I'm just thinking about grace, I'm going to be thankful for grace. No, it says to go and tell. I got off and we don't have time, nor did I even go that direction, but I started studying all of the go and tell situation regarding God's grace to the apostles and to those who are following him. To celebrate grace, if you're going to celebrate the event of grace in your life, it mandates that you go and tell others of the grace of God. You should be sharing. It is a verb. It is an action word, right? My thinking about it does not qualify as an action. My action is going and telling others of the grace of God, to celebrate grace. Grace is sufficient for all. He's made, his grace has appeared. That's for all men. They're going to know it through us. The grace of God. It's a verb. Go and tell. Let me tell you some things that grace for me. Grace, I'm thankful, is received and not deserved. Sometimes we get pretty full of ourselves. But I think that God's grace has been given freely. It's not deserved. And it's all about mercy, not about fairness. We have an illusion about fairness. God's grace is about mercy, not getting what we really do deserve. It's not about fairness thinking, well, I'm not so bad, so I deserve God's grace, which, look at that guy, he's terrible. Well, how can he deserve God's grace? Parable in the word of hires the man in the morning, he hires a crew in the morning, and halfway through the day he hires another, and halfway through another, hires another crew, and at the end of the day, he pays all of them the same. And those are the, wait a minute, I've worked all day. It really doesn't tell us our response. That's not the point. The response isn't the point. The point is that God's grace was sufficient, and God's grace is not about fairness. I worked harder, I did this, I deserve God's grace. Yeah, it's free to all. It's not about fairness. It's about the mercy of God, who gives us not what we deserve, not what would really be fair, because if we really wanted fairness, we would not want to stand before God. That's grace. Grace, listen, is all about forgiveness. All about forgiveness. Ours and ours. Our forgiveness and our forgiveness. Our forgiveness from Him, justified, declared righteous. But grace has two ours. The hour that God looked at me and I needed a Savior and He gave me His grace. But He also says the grace that we give to others, the forgiveness that we give to others. Some of you love the issue of God, man, my forgiveness and your grace to me, man, that's ours, that's mine. But do we look and then say, are we going to give grace to others? Are we going to grant forgiveness to others? I did a funeral recently. I shared this concept of the issue of forgiveness. That it only hurts you. The lack of it is like you drinking the poison and waiting for someone else to die. And afterwards, one of the people from the funeral came to me and said, I appreciate it so much because I've lived my life holding resentment towards people in this family. And today I have to let that go. We have to understand that forgiveness that God has given us, but that we need to offer grace to others. That grace is the foundation of assurance. It is the foundation of assurance, God's grace. If God's grace wasn't sufficient, if God's grace wasn't complete, then we'd be on very, very shaky ground. There's a story of grace, parable. Some of you will know it well. I don't make the assumption that all of you will. Some of you may not have ever heard the story. It's the parable of the lost son. We usually call it the prodigal son. I think there's two great pictures of God's grace. Wonderful. There's many, but for me personally, this is my personal. One, which you've heard me speak of, so I'm not using it again, is Peter. When he failed the Lord miserably, and Jesus came, do you love me? That was God's grace. That was God's grace. But for some of you as parents, the parable, the story used to illustrate the issue here. There was a man who had two sons. You can find this story in Luke chapter 14. You can write it down. Luke chapter 15, I'm sorry. You can write it down. Go read it. He had two sons. One of the sons came to him and said, Dad, it's time to divide the inheritance. I want mine. Dad said, okay. Don't you think that dad knew what might happen with that? He did. He gave his son and his inheritance, both sons, the inheritance. He set up both sons with inheritance. And the one son went, and he wasted away that inheritance. And while he had it, he had lots of friends. He had won the lottery. He had everybody around him. But pretty soon, the well went dry. and he found himself feeding pigs. Even wishing he could eat the same food that he was feeding the pigs. And the line in there in God's word says, and he came to his senses. And he started realizing that my Father's house, he has servants who are serving him, who are better taken care of than I am. I thought I was going to go pursue life and find purpose and find meaning and live big and live big, and I find myself looking around here in the mud. I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to humble myself and say, Father, man, I've sinned against you and against God. And man, can I just be one of your servants? Can I just be someone who's taken care of? I don't have a right to be your child. So he goes, starts his way home. But the father said to his servant, quit. He says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. He said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his and put it on his finger. Sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. We are going to have a feast and we are going to celebrate. For this my son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. What a great story of grace. That father looking a long way off, knowing every day his son was someplace that he did not know. But as he looked a long way off, that son came back. It's a great moral of the story of God's grace. And that father demonstrated that I'm your child, that you're my child. You come, you have all this. The other son didn't respond so well because he was caught up in fairness. He was caught up in, well, you didn't do that for me. You didn't give me a fattened calf that I could, you know, have a party. The reality is the father had already given him everything. In fact, the father says it was already yours. You didn't have to ask. You could just take. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is that unmerited favor. And I'm thankful at times that we have a God who looks at us from a far way off. And the story of grace is that you know where you could be, but come home. Come home. There's grace for you. Always enough grace. Father, this morning I am thankful for your grace.